Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Well, it's great to be here this morning and be with the Williamson family and the church family today. It's going to be a great day. We love the Williamsons. I remember when they came, it was a special time. I wanted this to be a special day, and I wrestled with what to say. And I pondered on this thing all week. I was thinking about 20 years of fruitful ministry, Randy, and as I look across this auditorium, I can tell it's been fruitful, and God has had his hand on your and Pastor's wife Sue's life, and this whole time has been ordained of God. You didn't have a whole lot to do with it. All you did was follow his will, which is commendable, and then you followed his steps every day since. I remember coming to Sparta shortly after Pastor Randy was here, and of course, Pastor Randy's favorite word is, "What can I do for you?" He's always said that to me anyway. If he hasn't, ask him to say it for you anyway. And after arriving, he said, "Well, let's go get something to eat." And so we went down, I believe this is Highway 27, and kind of across from the high school, there's a kind of a little strip mall there. I drove by it this morning. I'm not sure. I think there's a little restaurant in there. And I didn't know Randy real well. And of course, my wife grew up here in Sparta and the high school and all of that. But so we got down to the restaurant, and I got out of the car and was going to walk in. And I got up to the door, and I looked around, and Randy wasn't there. And he was walking all over the parking lot, and he was saying, "Well, hi, Jim, and hi, Mary, and hi, Fred," and whatever. And I'm standing at the door like, I thought we were going to go have lunch. But if you know Randy, and you do, that's the Randy that I know. Randy has always been quite influential in my life and in many others' life. And I think it took us 5 minutes to get into that restaurant because he knew everybody by name and he'd only been here a couple weeks. That's commendable. And as I was pondering on what to say today, I was thinking of the word influence and how that touched my life. Just that one moment, Randy, that influence. And so I'm going to talk about influence this morning. This past week, I was driving down Interstate 380 heading east towards Texas, Dallas, as we were coming home from our winter home in Arizona. And I turned to my wife and I said, "Write this down." She kind of looked at me like, "What?" And I said, "Write down the power of the unspoken persuasion, influence." I thought that was pretty cool. I thought that all by myself. She said, "How do I spell it?" "Oh, I'm sorry, honey." I said, "In my heart, influence is the power of the unspoken persuasion." And I've been pondering on that all week. Webster says, "Influence is the capacity to have an impact on the character, the development, or the behavior of someone or something." Influence. Have you given much thought to your influence in life? In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, it states, "Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise." I think I fit into that category. "Not many of you were wise by human standards, but many of you were influential. Not many were of noble birth." Influence. What is your influence in life? My life motto has always been the gospel is not to be preached only on Sunday, but all week long as how we live. The message isn't only preached on Sunday, it's how you and I live all week long. We're all ministers of the gospel. Recently, my wife and I were shopping for groceries. We'd bought several items, and included in that large grocery list was a case of 48 bottles of water. We drink bottled water in Arizona, and it's real cheap. And so I said, honey, as being the great husband I am, you go ahead and check out, and I'll go get the car. So she checked out. They put the groceries in the cart. I went and got my car, and I drove it up right up in front of the grocery store. I looked, and she was standing right there kind of in the lane of traffic, but she stepped off to the side, and I stopped right there so that she wouldn't have to walk very far with the groceries. However, there were cars coming behind me, and so I hoped that she would put the groceries in the car real fast. She put the groceries in the cart, and she looked at me and said, well, are you going to sit there, or are you going to help me put the 48 bottles of water in the car? Pastor says, good girl. A gentleman was walking by, and he had groceries in his cart. And he heard her say in a very kind voice, like, are you going to sit there? Are you going to come and help? And he turned and he said, ma'am, let me help you. He put his groceries down. I'm sitting in the car feeling stupid now. He says, where do I put them? I said, oh, just put them on the back seat. He put them in the back seat and he drove off. That left an impression on me. He left an influence on me. And so this morning we're going to talk a little bit about influence. You see, I believe influence is an incredible thing. I think we underestimate influence way too much. Your influence can change the atmosphere where you're at. Literally. I walked in here this morning, and it was just people. It was just a building. It was just another church. And worship began to raise, and people began to move out into the aisles and down to the front. And I glanced around, and hands were raised. You don't find that at the grocery store. Your atmosphere changed my influence. By being in here and the praise to God, influence is an incredible thing. In Matthew chapter 14, Jesus saw his disciples in distress and trouble out on the sea. Jesus walked out on the sea, and when the disciples saw him, Peter got out of the boat and walked towards him. By the fact that Jesus appeared on the scene, it totally changed the atmosphere in that entire boat. Just by his presence. What does your and my presence do when we walk in to a restaurant or to a business place or see friends? Or when you walk on water? When you and I show up on a scene, does it change the atmosphere? When I was 8 years old and living on the farm with my siblings, my mom became ill. My brothers were doing something off on the side, and I was in the front yard, and I was just throwing a ball in the air and catching the ball and just kind of being by myself. And I saw dust coming down that old country road in South Dakota on the farm, and it happened to be the pastor in the pastor's car. And he drove into the driveway, and I said, Pastor Sullivan, what are you doing? I still remember his name. He said, well, your dad called, and your mom is sick, and I came out to anoint her with oil and pray for her. He said, what are you doing, Larry? I'm 8 years old, little squirt. I said, oh, I'm just throwing the ball and catching it. He said, throw me the ball. I threw him the ball. He played catch with me for a few minutes before he went in the house. He changed the atmosphere. I had no calling of the ministry on my life. I had no idea what I was going to do. But by the fact that he came and played ball with me, he changed the atmosphere. And when he walked into the house, I said, someday I want to be like Pastor Sullivan. He changed the atmosphere. I don't remember a sermon he ever preached. Pastor, they probably won't remember a sermon you ever preached. I listen to your sermons quite often online. Don't ask me what your titles were, but I can remember some of your thoughts. Change the atmosphere. We influence both negative and positive. John 14:27 says, and I quote Jesus where he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. When you committed your life to Christ, and some of you maybe recently, you were baptized last Sunday, I don't know how long you've been saved. But when you committed your life to Christ, the atmosphere changed. Your influence changed, totally changed. Christ's influence is peace for the believer. The presence of Jesus' mere appearance was positive when Peter saw him walking on the water. Everything changed. No fear. He got out of the boat, which was, to us would be crazy. Everything changed when he saw Jesus. He brought peace. He brought calmness to Peter. The Apostle Paul had a very negative influence before his conversion. If you know the scriptures, you know what a terrible man the Apostle Paul was before his conversion. He changed from anger and materialism to a person of love and compassion. He would do anything for anybody after he had a conversion. His influence changed drastically. We winter in Arizona from the 1st of November until the first part of April. I fly home for deer hunting. I'm not going to miss deer hunting. I have an influence there that I got to feed the family. And so I fly back and have a good time back here. And when I went back to Arizona, the neighbor lady came over and they were moving in to their place right across the street from us. And I thought, well, as a good neighbor, I should maybe go over and ask if they need a hand moving in. And so I walked across the street, and there were some trailers there and a truck, and they were unloading, and I grabbed something, and I carried it to the house, and I walked to the back of the house, and I heard Christian music playing, and I thought, ooh, this is pretty cool. It has some gospel music playing. And I saw this big old cowboy. He's about 6'4", 6'5", and cowboy boots on. And he's from Colorado, and they'd moved to Arizona a few years prior. And he's out there walking and, just a big old boy. And I said, hey, I like your music. Oh, he said, that's my wife's music. And I thought, well, there's a good indication right there that probably it's not his music, and he's maybe not a believer. And so we became very good friends. And as time went on, I'd talk to him, he'd talk to me, and we helped each other back and forth. And I said, a little while ago, I said, have you gone to church? And he said, yeah. He said, I've been going to my wife's church a little bit. She's been wanting me to go. And he said, I went to church a few years ago, and he said, the pastor's suit probably cost more than the car that I drove to church in. Obviously, I don't make that kind of money, but anyway. I said, oh, really? And he goes, yeah, well, that was my indication. He probably wasn't a believer, and he hadn't gone back. Well, now he's been going to church a little bit. So we've just been friends. I just tried living the life around him. I never preached to him. I never did a whole lot. I just was a friend, a buddy of his, Big Bob. Well, a couple of weeks ago, Big Bob came over and said, Larry, I got to tell you. He said this church called Renew that I go to, he said they had a men's conference up in the mountains. And they invited me to this men's conference. I thought, oh, yeah, it's a men's thing. Oh, I'll go to a men's thing. And so he said, I went. And he said, there was about 40 men there. And he said, I got there, and they were all kind of standing around one night in a big huddle. And they were, like, writing stuff on paper and throwing it into the fire or doing this and that and whatever. And he said, I thought, this is kind of strange. This isn't for me, man. So he said, I just kind of stepped back away from the circle and kind of stood back like, this is a little bit weird. And he said, this big old boy walks up to me and he said, how you doing? He said, oh, I don't know. I said, I don't get it. He said, I don't understand this. And as he tells the story, he said, so this big old boy talked to me for a while and he said, you know, I think you're ready. And Bob says, I'm ready? And he said, well, for what? And he said, I think you're ready to commit your life to Christ. And Bob says, well, if you think I'm ready, whatever, I guess. So the big old boy, he says, hey, guys, come on over. So I said, 40 guys come over, 39 or 38, whatever were left. And he said, man, they put their hands on me. Like, this is, and they started to pray. And he said, buddy, something happened. Something happened. He said, I tell you what. He said, I'm a different man. It's totally different. He said, I had committed my life to Christ, and I want to help everybody. I want to tell everybody about God. And you look on Facebook now, and him and his wife are on Facebook almost every day, and they're talking about Jesus and this and that and whatever. So then he said, just the other day, he said, last Friday, Good Friday, we went to their church the week before, Renew Church. And I said, well, what is your church? And he said, it's called Renew. And I said, well, what is it? Is it multi-denominational or what? And he said, I don't know. And she said, oh, I just looked online and I saw Renew Church and I thought I'd start going to that church. And she said, I got there and I asked somebody about the church and they said, oh, we're Assemblies of God. I thought, how small of a world is that? So last Friday, and I wanted to have a picture of it for you this morning. 6'4", 6'5", Bob, and his little wife, out there in Lake Pleasant in Arizona, standing with her pastor in the water on a cold, windy day, if you can believe it, in Arizona. It's been 103 and 105, but that day was a windy, cold day. They locked arms. She said, I want to go down with him. She had been baptized before, and I got a picture of it. They locked arms in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. The two went underwater, stood up, hands in the air, thanking Jesus. Influence. Influence. You see, you preach the gospel many times by your influence. I didn't have a whole lot to do with it. I was just his friend and loved him to where he was. You remember the bracelets we used to wear? WWJD? I think they ought to come back. In my life, what would Jesus do? That ought to be the testimony of our life. What would Jesus do at the workplace? What would Jesus do here and there? I'm an early riser, and I usually get up about 5 in the morning. I have a friend that says, if God wanted me to see the sunrise, he would have made it at 10 o'clock in the morning. But I'm an early riser. I usually get up about 5, and my wife thinks I'm crazy, and about 4:45 after 5, I go down to the little multi-purpose room, and there are about 15 guys get down there, and we have coffee every morning. Well, I have an old friend of mine that used to go down there, and he invited me down there a couple years ago, and he's 95 now, and he's not there anymore, but I thought, this is a pretty cool place. I kind of like marketplace evangelism anyway, and so I get up at 5 o'clock 6 days a week, and I go down for coffee. And they know that I'm a retired minister, if there's such a thing. And so when I go, the conversation is usually pretty clean. And I like it that way, and they like it that way, and they have a lot of respect, and I have a lot of respect for them. And some of my best friends are at that coffee club now. I've been doing it for a couple of years. And so one day, this big old guy, another guy from Colorado, came to me and said, Larry, I want to talk to you. I hadn't said anything about evangelism or whatever. I'd just been trying to live the life. And Gary comes up and he says, Larry, he said, I've been married for many, many years. And he said, I never left the ranch, never left the house without a kiss from my wife. And he said, my wife had a stroke 2 years ago. My wife knows Gail very well. They do ceramics together down there in a club and whatever. And Gary said, I need to talk to you. And I said, well, Gary, I said, well, where do you go to church? He said, oh, I met my wife in a bar years ago. And he said, we've never gone to church. We live way up in the mountains. In fact, I stopped at his ranch. My wife will never go back up there. But I stopped at his ranch on the way back last year. And, yeah, it's a ranch. And anyway, I said, well, Gary, you don't go to church. I said, you don't have friends? He said, no, we've never gone to church. I said, well, Gary, tell you what, you need friends. Your wife needs friends. Just kind of a backdoor entry into this conversation. I said, tell you what, Gary, I said, I want you to come to church with me. Really? And I said, yeah, I want you to come to church with me. This was probably, I don't know, 2 years ago now, honey, something like that, probably a year and a half, 2 years ago. And so sure enough, he said, okay, I'll come. And you know, from that day to this day, they've not missed a Sunday in church. They are there now. In fact, at the multi-purpose room or the big clubhouse there, they have meals and they have all kinds of activities. And sometimes a dance will break out. And of course, us Assembly of God girls and boys, I'm not going to go there. But anyway. So we're sitting there one night, you know, and I look out there, and here's Gail and Gary. She's snuggled into his arms, and they're not moving their feet very much because she still uses a walker, but they're out there kind of doing the, is that how you dance? I don't know. So somebody, I better not show them how to dance, Pastor. And there they are in each other's arms. One of my dearest friends, Gary, attending church every Sunday now. All because of influence. You see, we're not preaching sermons. You can do it. We can all do it. It's just relationships. And so, let me move on here. In Luke chapter 2, verse 46, we see Jesus is a young boy. And what is he doing? He's sitting among the teachers, listening to them, and asking them questions. And the Bible says they were informing him. They were influencing him is the word that they use. They were influencing him or informing him. They weren't necessarily, they were teaching, but the young lad was there, kind of like your upcoming VBS. And young people are coming to your church. And you're teaching them, and they were influencing Jesus. Now, Jesus was answering questions and debating with them, as we know in the scripture, but they were around, he was around people that influenced him. You need, and I need to be around people that influence us in a positive way. Sometimes we may have to leave some certain relationships and form new relationships around people that will influence you towards the things of God. And you can do it, and I can do it. We can all do it. You see, who you associate with affects your influence in the future. If I associate with non-believers all the time and never give a positive influence, their influence is going to affect me. And I've often told young people over the years, who you associate with can influence who you become. You need to hang around with Christians. You need to hang around godly people, even though you do associate with a non-believer. It has to happen. So who influences you? I believe I was superintendent at the time, or El State Youth Director, and I had heard about this great preacher. And I wanted him to come and preach at my camp. His name was Randy Williamson. Go ahead. I'll never forget it, Pastor. Never forget it. And he was there speaking for us. And a dear friend of mine, John Rohr, Pastor John Rohr, I don't know if you remember that, Pastor, had stage 4 terminal cancer, retired minister. Pastor said, we're going to pray for those that need prayer this morning or evening, whatever it was. John Rohr came up towards the front of the altar, and I was standing kind of over here. And Randy put his hands on Pastor Rohr's head and began to pray. I'll never forget it. Pastor Rohr almost went down on his knees when the anointing came over him when Pastor was praying for him. Stage 4 cancer. John Rohr lived 14 more years after Pastor touched him and prayed for him. That left an influence on my life I'll never forget. Oh, God, may I someday be able to walk up to a sick person and put my hands on them and pray the divine intervention of the Holy Spirit and healing upon them where they will live an extra 14 years. It was an influence. You have been influenced around these altars over the years, many of you, when people have come and laid their hands on you and prayed for you, or you knelt at an altar. It was an influence. Some time ago, and I say this in closing, I heard this. We need to aspire to inspire before we expire. Yeah, you might want to write that down. That's not originally from me. I heard that from somebody else. We need to aspire to inspire before we expire. All of us can inspire by our influence somebody. We need to aspire to do that before we expire. One last story before I close. I was preaching at a new church about 15 years ago. We just opened the church. Young pastor was there, and my wife and I walked into the church that Sunday. They wanted us to come and preach. And we walked in, and they had just rented a school room, schoolhouse. They didn't have a building yet. They had moved a couple of schools. They had kind of outgrown the previous school. And we got there early, and we sat down, and we saw people walking into the school with coffee pots and cribs that they could assemble together for a makeshift nursery and all kinds of things. And we were just sitting there in the lobby, and I saw the pastor's wife come in, and I said, ma'am, is there anybody that comes to this church over 40 years of age? Because they were all young people. They were driving up in motorcycles and hot rod cars and all whatnot. And she said, oh, yeah. They said, Grandpa Ott will come. I said, oh, Grandpa Ott. Now, I knew some Otts. I didn't have any idea who this guy was. I found out later who he was. They said, oh, Grandpa Ott will be here. And I said, well, how would I know when he comes in? Oh, he'll have a black silk suit on with a white shirt and tie. There wasn't a person in that place that even had a lot of clothes on. So I waited around. I was drinking my coffee, and we were just kind of watching. And all of a sudden, this guy walks in, and boy, he was just Grandpa Ott. Black suit, white shirt, tie. Fancy shoes like Pastor Randy wears. He walked in there, and I said, "Hi, sir." And he goes, "Hi, like, who are you?" I said, "Are you a Mr. Ott?" "Well, yeah." And I said, "Oh, I heard you were coming and whatever." And so we sat and we visited for a little while, and the place was filling up, and all these young families, new converts were coming in, and all of a sudden the band started to play into the auditorium there of the school, and I'm sitting there, and he goes, "It's going to get loud in there." I said, "That's okay. My wife doesn't really care for loud music at camp. She'd complain about it." I said, "Well, just go outside and sit outside until they're done singing." I was very gentle about it. And anyway, so I said, "Well, okay." I said, I don't mind loud music." So pretty soon the doors open up and these people just started to flood into this auditorium. And the band's up there and lights are low and smoke is going up and fog or whatever they call that, you know. And boy, they're jamming and they're worshiping. And I'm going, "I wonder where old Grandpa Odd is." I'm sitting towards the front. I turn around to look. And there's Grandpa Ott sitting way up in the back. Hands raised towards heaven. Tears running down his face. Worshiping God. I said, "Grandpa Ott." He said, "Liebe." He didn't call me Larry. "Liebe." He said, "If it wasn't for that band and that worship, none of these people would be here. I had my day with the old hymns. Today it's their day." I said, "Grandpa Ott," I called him Grandpa Ott, I said, "I have an assignment for you." He said, "Well, what's that?" I said, "I want you to come to my seniors camp." Some of you probably were there years ago. My old 50-plus camp. For the old geezers, as Joel Pabia would say. Us old folks now. "I want you to come to camp. I'll pay your way." "Well, why do you want me to come to camp?" "Because I'm going to interview you, and you're going to tell the story about we had our day, and now it's their day. For the younger generation." He said, "All right, I'll do it." And he came. Because I know even with that camp, well, I'm not going to go there. But anyway, I said, "I got a special guest that I brought up, folks." I don't know how many we had. There were a couple, 300 senior adults there. I said, "Well, Grandpa Ott, I was at your church and I told the story." And I said, "And I'll tell you something you told me." I said, "You told me I had my day and now it's their day. Thank you for sharing that." "Oh, just a minute, Pastor Larry. I got something else I want to say." And boy, he preached him a sermon. Influence. Influence. Only God knows when we leave here today who we might influence. So my prayers when we leave here today, I want us to pray that this week will influence somebody to Jesus.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.